Melissa Show. We are here to coach you to your success, to coach you to your purpose, your passion, and your destiny. Tune in each week, Monday through Friday morning, for a lesson, a tool, or a tip or strategy on how to dig deep past all the things that are hiding the true you. Find out not only who you are, but exactly what you ought to be doing in your life, where you should be going, and how you should be getting there. Well, I am Lalisa J. Williams, your coach, and I am honored and grateful to be here to assist you. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and enjoy the show. You can contact Coach Lalisa after the show via the internet. You can visit the website, www.lalisajwilliams.com, or for a free coaching session just for you, go to www.mylifecompass.com/Lalisa Williams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Lalisa J. Williams.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. Good morning, those of you in the chat room, good morning. Fox, good morning, Gloria. And yes, Gloria, I did get your message. I didn't get a chance to type something back, but I did get it. And so, yes, I don't know if you're already on your cruise, but either way, yes, definitely, when you get back, your package will be there for you. And so, but today, I tell you, I am so excited. Today, what is it today? Thursday. Okay, we had Monday. Monday, we were talking about, marketing yourself. We started out the week talking about how to market ourselves and invest. And we kept talking about it on Tuesday, where we talked some more about those perceptions in the workplace, to how to market ourselves for those promotions, for those additional jobs, for those to really get into the job that you really want. We also talked climbing up the corporate ladder, so to speak. And it's something that you can do, or you don't have to do, but you could also use marketing skills in any other, or so many other areas of your life, your career, your profession. You know, let's face it, we were all put here on this earth. And we were all put here. None of us asked to be here, okay? That is clear, all right? So we all have that in common, that we were all put here. Number two, we were all put here with a specific purpose in God's mind. He already had a purpose for us. He didn't ask any of us what our purpose is, but he did leave it up to us to discover our purpose. I mean, it just makes life more fun. You know, how boring would life be if you just came here with all these set of, you know, I call them dot points, about what you should do and how you should do it. But no, God wants us to trust him. He will lead and guide us. And it's fun, the experiences that we have. The beautiful thing about those, and I know sometimes they're painful, sometimes they hurt, sometimes they're very traumatic, sometimes they leave scars, but at the end of the day, they have made us stronger and wiser, as my good friend Marvin Sapp said so eloquently in his song. Yes, they made us stronger. They've made us wiser. They've made us better. Every single experience that we've ever had, if the only reason that a person would not know this is because they've never been told. You know, in order to know something, you have to hear it first. And then when you hear it, unless you believe it, it's not going to really serve you. And so, you know, we have to make sure, what are we believing? What is it that I believe? What are my beliefs? So you have this opportunity now to really move and position your life for a whole nother level. And so we have, you know, this sense that, yeah, the things that have happened to me, those some of the things, you know, we say we want to forget. But if we stop and really look at it for real, we're like, wow, that's how I got this way. You know, I tell you, I'm one of the biggest proponents of that because of my own childhood, having gone through all those years of obscurity and having to hide who I really was, having to, you know, feel this internal defensiveness because of having been molested for 13 years from age 5 to 18, having to, you know, living a lie, basically. My family members didn't know. And I thought at the time that that was just going to be, that my life was ruined. And every time I got ready to do something, I always looked for the worst to happen. I never looked for the, you know, there were times when I did a little bit, but not really. And so I would be the first person to say, boy, that was horrible. I just want to go somewhere and, you know, crawl in a hole. That's just a horrible background. Who wants to have it? You know, what good was it? It's just terrible. You know, you were abused. Somebody took advantage of you for years and years and years. Somebody didn't care about you. Just all the negative things I could think of surrounding an abusive situation like that, sexual child abuse. But then I had to look at, if I look at my life today or even going back 5 years, 10 years ago, I'd have to say, or 20 years ago for that matter, everything that I am is also is an outgrowth of everything that I was. And so that's why we're always telling people, you see, you got to look at your experiences. That's why we caution people, don't want to be anyone else, because you don't know what they had to go through to get where they are. So they don't want to do that. You can have mentors and role models to get ideas from, to learn about yourself. Absolutely. Other people can teach us about ourselves. Absolutely. You want to be very careful in wanting to be other people because we don't know. But here's the thing. And if you be them, who's going to be you? You know, when other people start talking, thinking like that, I judge you. Well, if you're going to be that person, then who's going to be you? See, somebody has to be you. And that's being based on your experiences, your life scenarios, and the things you've gone through. Whatever it was, it could be divorce, rejection, it could be a physical ailment, whatever it is, you went through that for a reason. It made you who you are. It made you who you are. So, yeah, my good friend wrote a book. Well, he's not my good friend, but I can say he is. He wrote a book, Everywhere You Go, There You Are. So you are where you are, you are who you are, and you are who you are for a specific purpose. Now, this morning, I wanted to bring up another great topic that goes along with that. And that topic that I have for today, by the way, good morning and welcome to each and every person. The topic today is creating the life of your dreams. Yes, create, okay, great, still preparing, yes, yeah, and Gloria, yeah, okay, and when you can inbox me the date, so we might can make something happen for you sooner, but the living, You got to create, in order to live the life of your dreams, okay, we hear that sometimes. Live your life, you know, your dream life. Well, I have to, you know, newsflash, you must create it. You must create it. Don't sit around and wait for it to happen. It's not going to fall out of a tree. You're not going to miraculously wake up one day at 55 and boom, there it is. No. Not going to wake up one day at 30. And I feel so bad, too, for some of our young people because I was so there. Oh, I was so there. Well, I thought one day, you know, I dropped out of school and I just hung out, did pretty much nothing, you know, took a couple of little jobs here and there. And I just thought one day, boom, I'm going to have this great life. But I thought it was going to happen just one day, miraculously. Magically, it was going to happen. You know, I had watched some magic when I was a kid. I would watch some TV shows. One of my favorites was Cinderella. That was my absolute favorite show. So I thought one day I'm going to be in the house scrubbing the floor. Boom, here comes my fairy godmother. She's going to say to me, well, Lisa, you don't deserve this. Wave her magic wand and voila, I'm going to have this great, wonderful life. I also read Snow White, and that was taught to us and read to us, and I figured one day I would fall asleep and, you know, this would happen and that would happen, but guess what? It didn't happen that way. Now, I'm not saying, okay, let me retract and not say it can happen that way. It might happen that way for somebody. If you or anyone you know that has happened that way for them, please have them call me. I want to talk to them. I want to give them an exclusive one-on-one interview about how their experience with that. But all the people I know, it didn't come that way. All the successful people that I know, whether it's Oprah Winfrey, it could be Tiger Woods, it could be Carly Fiorella, it could be anyone. It could be Condoleezza Rice. It might be the President Barack Obama. It may be Mayor Cory Booker. You can name whomever you like. They all will tell you the hard work that they had to go through to create their reality. It's called creating your reality. Now, the problem with some people as to why they haven't yet done it is because they don't know the tools of creation. They don't know the tools of creation. Well, you know, some people, they've read the Bible, and it starts off in Genesis talking about how God created the earth and the sun and the moon and the stars and the water and the fish and the birds and the herbs and the grass and the trees and the fish in the sea and every creeping thing. And, you know, it talks about all of that. And so they say, okay, that's how it's going to happen. No. It's part of it. Yeah, part of it. That he created all of that by speaking it into existence. Is that's going to happen. But here's the problem. You're going to speak some stuff. Yes, you are. That's what you got to do. No doubt. But see, with God, all of that happened in 7 days. I can't guarantee you that your dreams are going to come true in 7 days. I can't guarantee you that the life that you dream is going to happen in 7 days. But I'll tell you what can happen in 7 minutes or less. You can get started. Yes, you can. You can make the first move in that direction in less than 7 seconds. It doesn't even take 7 seconds to say to yourself, to make up your mind, that's what I want, or to see or visualize it in your mind. Now, it may take you longer to write it down on paper, depending on where your strengths lie in writing. You may be able to write it down, but for today, those individuals who are struggling with writing, let me help you with something. Speak it, record it in a recorder, much like this. Just imagine if I was to ever, anytime I want, I can go back over the past 3 years. I know some people, they've started listening to Blog Talk Radio this year, but Blog Talk Radio has been around at least 3 years because I knew about it when I was live on the radio station, on the AM station, and that was 3 years ago almost. And Blog Talk was out then, And I'm not sure exactly how long. So it didn't just get here this year. Didn't just get here last year. It's been around. Now, it's gotten more popular, of course, because things get more popular over time. And it's grown. I remember when there were very, very few people with shows on Blog Talk Radio. Now, it's just so many shows now, they block you out of certain times to start your show. There's certain times now that are only reserved for people who pay. And, you know, Blog Talk is free for most of us. You can use it free. But there are people who have a premium service that they pay for, so they get added services. It's like with anything. When you pay a little more, you get a little more. So some people are paying for their shows. Now, I said all that to say that it probably won't happen overnight. That's why we practice the law of consistency. There's something about staying consistent that produces a life that you could only have dreamed of. Okay? But remember, in 7 seconds or less, you can see the dream. You can see that life. But it won't happen in 7 seconds. It won't be as it was for our God. However, the way he has created us, you know, you're going to see it over time. You know, as you're working toward that goal, that dream. And so what are some of these other tools to create the dream life, the life of your dreams? What does it take? Because for some people, that's the missing link. That's the missing link. And please, I welcome any comments or questions that you have about this topic, creating the life of your dreams. Well, first, I guess, the first question, if you were to attend one of my seminars, which they are coming fast, they are coming fast, but we've been working on them for 10 years. So it seems like for some people they don't know me, and they'll be driving down Route 22 or wherever, and then they'll see a billboard talking about the training or the motivational speaking that we're doing, and they'll say, oh, wow, she just came out of nowhere. No, I didn't come out of nowhere. Oh, she just blew up overnight. No, we didn't blow up overnight. People don't blow up overnight. You work at it day in and day out, and then you blow up. You don't blow up overnight. Because I know some people say, you know how we see stars, and it's like, oh, wow, they just blew up overnight. No, they didn't blow up overnight. They blew up every day that they were working on it, and then one night, all those years of effort got them their one big contractor, their one big deal, that type of thing. But they were working at it day and night. A dancer, his or her feet are raw with sores. You know, a writer, their knuckles are hurting. You know, people who have spent day in and day out, a person who's trying to create the next this or that, their brain is like fried because of all the creativity and thinking. So no, it doesn't happen overnight. However, we work on it day by day. So the first question is, okay, how many of you want this life of your dreams? How many of you have a dream for your life? So it starts there. We can't help you create the life of your dreams if you don't want that. So you first have to decide, is that something you want? Do I want to live this powerful life, this life that is full of love and happiness and joy, incredible satisfaction? You know, Tony Robbins, this great motivational speaker and life coach, he talks about, and Dr. Kimbrough and others, they all talk about, you know, it's one thing to have stuff, let's say money, material things, and it may look like we're very happy, but there's yet another thing to be fulfilled, to actually feel happy and satisfied, full of joy. Because most of us, if we don't know, most of us know that money does not bring you happiness. Money will pay a lot of bills, and you have to absolutely have it. Without money, you wouldn't be here listening, and I wouldn't be here talking to you. Because without money, I wouldn't have this laptop. I wouldn't have this phone. Because every month, I got to pay the bill. So without money, this wouldn't be taking place. The laptop wouldn't be on if I didn't have it plugged up. Because even if it came with an internal battery, that doesn't last forever, short-lived. So we all need money. That's clear. We're clear on that. And everybody might need a different amount. We can be clear on that. Not everybody has the same desires. So not everybody, you know, I don't look down on the person who gets no further than White Castle, a White Castle's job. That might be their standard of living. That might be the quality of the life that they want to live. And so I don't expect everyone to want to live this life over the top. That's not everybody. So that's why we ask the question, do you want to live the life of your dreams? If you say yes to that, now we can continue. And then the next question is, okay, what does that look like for you? What does it look like for you, Tina? What does it look like for you, Gloria? Not what it looks like for Melissa. What does it look like for you? What does it look like for you, Fox? What does it look like for you, Hope? What does it look like for you, Versi, Coach K, Coach J, and others? What does that look like for you? What does it look like for you, Adele and Deborah? What does your dream life look like? Now, what Oprah's dream life looks like. I know there are people, oh, I want to be like Oprah. I want to be on the Oprah show. Oprah, great. I want to be on the Oprah show, too. But more than I want to be on the Oprah show, I want to create the Melissa show. Did you hear me? Loud and clear. Yes, I would love to be on the Oprah show. But more than I want to be on the Oprah show, I want to create, C-R-E-A-T-E, create the Melissa show. And so that's what we're saying. What does your dream life look like? Okay, I'm a trainer, and I had a great conversation this morning with Adele for a few minutes. And I was telling her, and we were talking about training, and that's what we both do, and we love it. I love training. I didn't fall into a training job by happenstance. It wasn't haphazard. No, that's not how it happened. I visualized myself standing before groups of people training them. Now, I got the vision from watching other people. That's why it's important to go places, watch people. Yes, we get ideas from them. Sometimes we don't have to. Sometimes God will give us a vision. But sometimes we'll be going. So it's those experiences, whether we've been molested or raped or abused or whether we've been treated wonderful and great. Not all experiences have to be a bad one for us to learn, grow, and develop from. I don't want people thinking that. Because I've actually been in rooms and with groups of people, and then they hear my story or they hear somebody else there with a similar story or worse, and then they think, well, dang, none of those things happened to me, so does that mean I won't be able to go over the top? No, you can go. You don't have to. An experience is your experience. It's not about a particular type of experience. Now, you could have been born with a silver spoon. Great. That's an experience. Because guess what? You didn't cause that to happen. That's because of your parents or whomever else raised you. So it's still you can still talk about what was that like? What was that like living in a home where you may have had maids or people to wait on you? I love meeting people like that. I think their lives are tremendously interesting. I love talking to people that had it like that because I began to ask them, what was that like, you know, having this or having that? What was that? How did that feel? It's like they may want to know, well, what did it feel like to have to, you know, scrap for your, you know, your dinner, hoping that one of your siblings didn't eat it up before you got home from being out in the streets playing around or whatever. You see, everyone's life has some kind of experience. It doesn't matter. And those experiences are what you're going to take to create your dream life. So, again, whether you had it really, really made or whether you had it really, really bad, really hard, really tough. And believe it or not, it's so interesting. There are people who had it, what in our minds could say, we could say, I could say, they had it made. In their mind, it wasn't made for me because I wanted more time with my parents. I didn't want to deal with a nanny. I didn't want to deal with a private school. I didn't want to be shipped off to boarding school. That's how they would look at it. Like, I would look at, wow, what an opportunity, how great that was. Oh, you got to wear these cute uniforms. Oh, you got to stay in this nice mansion and all of that. Okay? So visualization. So it's going to take you visualizing. What does your dream life look like? What is your dream life? So when I looked at my dream life, and I looked at were some things that I wanted to do, and, you know, I can't honestly say where the transition came that I actually said I want to be a trainer, that I want to be an instructor. I can't say because this is where I say God has jokes, because he took a girl who did not like being in school, totally didn't like it. It wasn't just that I dropped out one day. I didn't go to school most of my 10th and 11th grade. I didn't go to school because I would skip school, as they call it, and go hang out with my friends. They also loved to skip school. They didn't go to school. They probably went to school less than I did, because with the mother I had to fake it sometimes and at least have a resemblance that I went to school. But some of these kids didn't even have that issue, so they never went to school the whole school year. And I would go to their house from time to time. And so I said, God, you took a person that totally didn't like that, and here you are. But now, ever since I got introduced to training, I did like it. And I'm going to tell you, now I can kind of think of some of my first experiences where I began to like school and training, and that was in 1975 when I went to Betts Business School in Cincinnati, Ohio, which is where I was born and raised, going to Betts for 9 months to learn to be a clerk typist. That's where I began to see, you know, the instructors teaching. And actually, it was slightly before that, I was in a lot of the CETA programs, those community education and training. I think that was the name, but it was a government program, and it was the Community Education and Training Act. It was a federal government funding program that was funded throughout the country. Anybody that's my age would probably know about it. If you're my age and slightly older or slightly younger, not much younger, because the CETA programs ended, they ended maybe in the early 80s, late 70s. I could probably go online and get the exact dates, and you can get a lot of history about the CETA programs. But they would be almost like the Great Deal. Okay, so the CETA programs were a great deal. They were good for the inner cities. And they had them everywhere, but the inner cities had them the most. But I think it was that's where I got bitten, because the CETA programs was these agencies that would do this training, and they would have a person that was the trainer that was like a life skills kind of person, though they didn't call it that then. This is going back now, close to 35 years ago. They weren't calling it life skills. They were the instructors. And that's probably where I sat and imagined that I would like doing that, though the voice that said that in my head wasn't strong enough. So it was probably like a little tiny whisper, you know, that faded away, like, that would be a great job, LaLisa. You know, like that. That would be something good for you to do. But it was so faint. And then the voices that said, you're stupid, you're ugly, you've been molested all these years, you'll never be nothing. Look at how people took advantage of you. Look at how you allowed it. I think that was the worst voice. It wasn't so much the voice that said, isn't that so horrible that somebody took advantage of you? No, the louder voice for me was, you allowed it, so you must be lousy, because you allowed that to happen until you were 18, that kind of thing. You allowed yourself to get, you know, you allowed yourself to drop out of school, that kind of stuff. So the voice that said, Lisa, you could be a trainer like that, that voice was just way too weak, and I did not pursue it. I didn't investigate it. I didn't give it life. You know, I didn't breathe, and it's like a little baby. A little baby is born. It's like so weak, and you know, it's just a little baby. You can, some babies you can hold in like one hand. They can't even open their eyes for like the first, you know, few weeks or so. Or they just close their eyes and sleep, and they'll suck every now and again. And that's what this thing was. But see, God is so awesome because that same voice, though, you know, stayed with me until one day I was ready. So what I want to teach people now is that you have to look at, you know, what was your whisper in terms of your dream life. And now, maybe back then you couldn't give it voice because of other things going on in your life. Maybe now you're afraid to give it voice. Maybe there's a little tiny voice in the back of your mind telling you, do this, do that, you can be this, you can be that. And maybe you won't give it voice because you're afraid. Or maybe there's too many other loud voices telling you. There's a loud voice right now that's going out to so many people that's saying the economy is bad. The economy is bad. Don't do it. The bad economy. Yo, the heart. Yo, you. Stop building that thing over there. Stop creating that life. Yo, I'm talking to you. Stop now. The economy won't bear it. The economy is bad. The economy is horrible. You're going to lose all your money. You're going to lose your home. You know, that's what a lot of people are hearing. Okay? That's that negative voice that people are hearing. And the reason why people are willing to hear it, because sometimes that voice is mixed with a lot of harsh reality. So are people losing their jobs? Absolutely. We know right here in the city of Newark, 170-something people lost their jobs of police officers. So the voice a lot of times is mixed with a lot of reality, which is why a lot of people tend to listen to the voice. So yes, maybe, yeah, I did drop out of school. So when the voice says to me, but you dropped out of school, the voice, you know what, it's so funny, that voice, that saying, it never goes away, y'all. So you just can wish it away all you want. And trust me, it ain't going nowhere because that's a whole other show for me to explain where it's, why it won't go, but it ain't going. So here you are. So here I had this voice telling me, you can't do it. You can't do it. You dropped out of school, right? And so all the while I was working on my associate degree, the voice wasn't that loud, right? Because it probably figured, she'll just get her associates and stop. So, but the voice was there, but it wasn't that loud. And I was able to pretty much override it really well. When I got to the bachelor's degree, it kind of woke up, you know. It was probably sleep as I was working on my associate. I kind of woke up. You know how you just wake up and kind of sit in the bed for a minute? You know how we do that, right? So it woke up. She'll be wore out. She'll just go for the bachelor. She hated school. Remember, she dropped out of high school. Sure, she's going to do what she's always done. So we don't have to worry. She's not going to finish. So the voice was like loud, but not that loud. I was still able to override it, graduated, got my bachelor's. By the time I got to the master's degree, now that thing was standing up over my bed talking about, stop it, what's wrong with you? You know you're crazy. And I told you the story on that. But I went on and I operated all in spite of the voice and got dressed and opened my books and studied, regardless of the voice telling me, you'll never do it, you can't do it, whatever. It got louder. Went on and graduated. The voice was like, look at this chick. I really got to do something. She's a mess. How dare her, you know, go on and do that. Then when I went for the PhD, the voice said, now, you know what? You really messing with me. This is the voice talking now. I'm coming for you now. And I said, so that's just kind of a scenario of how the voice. But again, I didn't stop. So you don't stop because of the voice. The voice is going to be there. So whatever business you want to start, you might as well go on and start it. Don't wait for the voice to tell you. That voice is never going to say to you, you go, girl. You can do it. You are going to make it. Wow, look at you today. I celebrate you. That's not what that voice is going to say. You have to create the voice to say that. Or, you know, give birth. There's a silent voice in you that's going to say that. But you have to bring that voice out. This other voice is well-trained to say no. And, you know, there's a whole school of thought as to where that voice comes from and how it got there. But the main thing you need to know that it is there, okay? And your job is to act in spite of that voice. Don't worry about that voice. Don't let that voice stop you. Go on, start the business, write the book, make the vision plain, write the vision, create the life of your dreams. See the dream that you want. Get it a visual in your mind, right? Get that mental picture going. Write down exactly what you want. Write it down. Can't write it down right away, get your recorder and record it, and then write from the recordings. You got people say, some people say, well, I don't have anything to record with. If you got a cell phone, you got a recorder. Most cell phones do record, even the little $29 ones. They record, and you can record it and then write it from there. Play it back and then write what you wrote down. Write what you spoke into the mic. Or you can call someone that you know is not in partnership with that negative voice. Because, you know, isn't that funny? Some people are like in collaboration with that negative voice. It could be your husband, your wife, your daughter, your children. It could be your parents. It could be your coworkers. There's always people willing to partner with the negative voice. But it's like an equation, you know. In algebra, remember in algebra, the equation, what's on happens on one side has got to happen on the other. So just like there's that negative person out there willing to collaborate, there's a positive person out there also willing to collaborate with that small voice inside of you that's telling you, you can do it, you can do it, go, go, go. But now you have to find that person sometimes. And then you can do like, the way I find people like that, I do a series of tests. That's how I find people like that. And you probably do it the same way. You just talk to people. You just share a little bit about your dream. If they go, oh, girl, no, that sounds stupid. I would never do that. The minute they say, I would never do it, trust me, that's not the person you want to talk to about that. That's the person you want to talk to. Let's go shopping. Let's go eat dinner. Let's just go chit-chat. That's who, you know. But the person who says, oh, I would never do that. Oh, I would never put my money in nothing like that. Oh, girl, I would never think you're trying to do that. This ain't the right part of the country. This ain't the right time. That person you don't want to share that you're trying to start a business and do something out of the box. The person that you tell and they say, oh, yeah, I was thinking about doing something like that, too. That's the person you want to tell because now you got somebody to collaborate with. If they tell you, I was thinking about that, too, now you're like what the Bible says, two shall be more powerful than one. He says, two shall go out. Listen to me. Now, I'm not preaching here right now, but I could. You know, trust me, I could. But he said, listen, one can chase, what, 1,000? Two can chase 10,000? Boy, that's what I'm talking about. Hook up with somebody. Don't be afraid because, you know, some people, when they hear somebody say, well, I want to do that too, they go, oh, no, I don't want to be with them because they're going to take my stuff. Don't nobody want your stuff? First of all, you ain't got no stuff yet. And that's what I be saying to people. Now, you know, I'm talking to you per se, but this is how I talk. Come on. This is my rendition of, you know, the Lalisa Williams, not Wendy Williams. Come on, people, get a life. It's not your stuff yet because you didn't do it yet. Do it first and then worry about somebody taking it. But, no, seriously, though, here it is. You got to be with somebody, people. The Bible says if two are walking out along the journey, it's so much better because when one gets tired, they can hold the other one up. They can make more heat together because now we can hug each other and we can keep ourselves warm. Some of y'all know the scripture I'm talking about. My mother used to remind me of it all the time. My mother preached that all the time. She used to love that. It probably was one of her favorite scriptures. And she never quoted where it was from in the Bible, but she often, because she would make us as sisters, that's why me and my sisters are so close, she would make us do things together. The two of y'all gone over there. The two of y'all gone over there, you know, like that. Because she understood when two are together, there's more power. And that's the same thing in a marriage. That's why some marriages are so dynamic. Because the two are together and they can put resources together and work on things together. And when one is lonely, they can comfort the other and that kind of thing. So here we are, you know, you have this dream, you want to get around positive people, you want to get your mind right, you want to create the life of your dreams, not just for you, it's not about you per se, we know that, okay, the dream life that you're going to have this vision for is because you want to impact the world with the talent, the gifts, the skills, and the abilities that God has given you. Because that's the charge he has given all of us. That's the charge he's given all of us. Go ye, he said, go ye into all the world. And I know some of you right there are saying, yeah, but he said to preach the gospel. Well, that's the gospel. The fact that you're using all your talents and gifts and skills and abilities is a gospel of types, is a type of a gospel. Guess why? Because the people who you're going to use them on, they're going to be like, boy, that's incredible. How do you do that? And the first thing you're going to say, God did it. And right there, you've preached the gospel because now you've shown them that God is awesome and powerful. And so again, not everybody who's preaching the gospel is standing in the church on Sunday or Saturday or whichever day of the week you have church or whatever you have on that particular way you worship and serve. So that's not what it means for each and every person. But each and every person is required through their life to demonstrate the power that comes. See, you need God's power to fully utilize your talents, your skills, your gifts, and your abilities. You need to be thinking about what he's meant to you. That's why in the parable of the talents, where the one person takes their five and multiplies it, and he gives them more. All the people that are doing are going to get more. So look out. If you're a doer, don't think it's going to slack up. Because all the ones who, the one person that used all their five and doubled their five, first of all, they doubled it on their own. We ought to be out doubling our stuff. And then he even gave them more. The same thing happened with the other servant. Had two, doubled it, got more. But for the one person, it's odd, funny, interesting, how the one person who wasn't willing to create and use what they had, they actually hid it. They didn't get a good result. They didn't get a good outcome. So, you know, don't do that. Use what you got. Because, again, using shows your connection to God. The person who didn't use said to their master when he came back, well, I was afraid of you. I was scared that you were going to, you know, try to reap where you hadn't sown and all this other stuff. Basically making excuses. That's what he was really doing, was making excuses. And a lady told me yesterday that excuses, and I don't know who exactly quoted it, but we can look it up later, excuses are the tools of the incompetent to build monuments of nothingness. So we don't want excuses. We don't want to use excuses. We don't want to say to, you know, God, well, I'm not using this skill because. Don't even go there. Don't even go there. Just get rid of the word because. That word leads to excuses. I didn't do this because. That's already leading you down the road of an excuse. Don't do that. Just go on and do it. Do it now, as Adele would say. Do it now, do it fast, do it better. Do it right, do it now, do it fast, do it better. Do it, just do it now. Just do it now. Good morning and welcome to those of you who have tuned into the show. Good morning. If you have a comment or question, this is a great, great time to ask. But you have to create the life of your dream. Your dreams, not your mama's dreams, not your daddy's dreams, not your great-great-grandmother's dreams, not Oprah's dreams, not Wendy Williams' dreams, not Monique's dreams, not Zig Ziglar's dreams, or whomever else you admire. Not the Coach Lalisa's dreams. I got to do my own dreams. You got to do your dreams. What's your dream life? Look, but you're not going to create your dream life if you haven't visualized what it looks like. You can't just go off into the sunset trying to create, you know, go skipping down the road, okay, it's going to come to me one day. No, no, no. This is strategic. You have to sit down and plan. This is like a plan. You know, it's amazing to me how we can go to these companies and work sometimes for pennies. 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 Okay, let me stop. I'm sorry. Okay, some of y'all working for dollars. I know. But listen, whatever it is, it ain't enough. We already know that. It's not what you're truly worth, I'll say like that. Here's the thing. So you can go on these jobs. We can go, because I go to one too every day. I'll be going shortly. Here's the thing. We go, and we spend hours planning how their companies can be a success. I know I do. I spend hours and days planning how Kentuck's training department can be a success. But we won't plan success for our own lives. That's scary to me. And it, I mean, that's what I've always done, but I one day I woke up. It's like, whoa, hold up here. And one of the things that made me realize that was as I was working toward my MBA, it was like, you know, I'm taking class after class that teaches on vision and objection and what are the objectives, and I'm learning on how to organize and plan and control, and semester after semester, week after week, turning in paper after paper, and I'm like, hold up, and I'm going to do this for who? And as I was sitting there, right there in Madison, New Jersey, Fairleigh Dickinson, I was like, oh, no. And then I looked at every semester, they send me a term bill, thousands of dollars, and not one of those companies was willing to pay for it. Thousands of dollars. They send me the bill every semester. And I said, okay, and I'm going to use this degree for who? And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with using your degree for another company. I'm saying do that, because I do it every day. But we would not be very wise not to use it for ourselves. Let me use it for my own business. Let me use it for my own life. That's real learning. I forget who I was talking to, a teacher somewhere, some teacher I was talking to, and she said, yeah, Lalisa, that's what learning is. When you decide that the things you're learning in a classroom goes for you, that's when you cross over to the next side. That's when you're going to really, really, that's, you know, and I can't wait to hit the college campuses and the schools with that message. I think that's what's going to really cause students to buckle down and start reading a little bit more, start doing their math a little bit better, start showing up for class with a little bit more personal engagement. I really do. I think that's going to help. It may not be the be-all and end-all, but I think a light bulb for a lot of children are going to come on because of that. Not all of them. Some of them will be reached in other ways. But I think there's a large number that will be reached through that message. If you can't use what you're learning for yourself, I'm not just getting this degree so I can go work for some company. No. And so all that we've learned, so that we've learned that creating our dreams, we got that mental picture, okay? You got that mental mindset. You've written it down. Write down, what is it you want to achieve? When I was working on my associate degree, before the semester was over, I had already written down all that I want to achieve while I was working on that degree. You know, you take things in chunks. I wasn't in getting my associates dreaming about a PhD. At that point, I didn't even know what a PhD was. I had no clue. Wasn't really all that sure what a master's degree was about. I knew what a bachelor's degree was, but I didn't, you know. So here I am. I dealt with where I was. Working on that associate, I wrote down everything that I wanted to accomplish while I was there. What organizations I wanted to be attached with, what professors I wanted to network with, what things I wanted that college. That's what I did when I was getting my associate degree. Once I graduated there and I went on to the bachelor's, I did the same thing at Fairleigh Dickinson. What all do I want to know while I'm here, while I'm working? I did the same thing when I got my job at Continental Airlines. I said, what I want to know. I made a list from day one. What all do I want to get out of this company? You know, now they're going to serve me. Yeah, I'm here to serve them, but they're going to serve me. It's just like with this, even you with this radio show. You're tuning in. You make a list. What is it that you want to get out of the Coach Lalisa show or this network You have to make a list of what you want out of things. So therefore, we're not just unintentionally doing stuff. That everything is done on intention. You already have a goal set. You already know what you want. And so we just do the same thing with our life. What is it that I want to get out of this life, and what do I want to leave? Because you can only give out what's been put in. So what you're getting out of it is what's now going to then be transformed through your experiences, your beliefs, and then you're going to put it back out there to the universe to help the next person years after you've left here. See, you've taken from the universe, and then you're going to put back greatness. You're going to put back greatness. You want to put back, you know, highly successfulness. You want to put back powerfulness. What is it that you want to put back? So you've got this dream life. Yes, it may take an adjustment on your attitude. A lot of times it does. You know, we definitely have to stay focused. Stay focused on the things that you're working on. If you're like me and you're working on 10 things, make sure you have a list of those 10 things. I may not get everything done at this particular time, but I have them all on my list, and they will all get done because they're on my list. It's like any to-do list. You put it on there. You may not do it all today, but tomorrow you'll pick that list back up, and you'll see what you still have left over to do, and you'll do it tomorrow. If you don't do it tomorrow, then you'll do it the next day. It's still on your list. It's still there to do. We got a list. We have the things that we want to do to achieve, the goals we want to achieve. Write it down. I heard somebody say that the difference between the goal and the dream is that the dream is a goal with a time limit on it, a time attached to it. So my dream of having this or being that or doing this or doing that, I say, okay, I want to do this, and I want to do it by next year, next month, and next quarter, tomorrow, today, the next hour, you know. But this dream life, what is first you got to know what it looks like, okay? So that's step one. Write it down. What does it look like? What does it look like? If it looks like you're taking vacations 6 times a year, write it down. Don't worry about how foolish it sounds. Don't go telling other people because they're going to convince you that it sounds foolish. You know how people are, because it's not their dream. They're not. Maybe they weren't meant to have 6 vacations a year. I was. I don't know about everybody else, but I was meant. I can tell y'all because we're all together. We're all thinkers. We're all thinking the same way. We're all understanding that we can create. It's not going to drop out of the sky. Me getting 6 weeks of vacation a year, or 6 times a year, going on a vacation somewhere, it's not going to fall out of the sky. I'm going to create it. How am I going to do that? Well, one, by writing it down. 2, by visualizing it. We attach to that visualization our emotions and our feelings. Right? What is it going to feel like to say to my sisters and my friends, hey, I'm going on vacation again. What's going to feel that thing? What's it going to feel like? What is it going to feel like? Wow. What is it going to feel like to be able to go to the bank and write out a check for $500,000 so that I can give to some youth foundation so that they can prepare to be the leaders of tomorrow? What's it going to feel like? What's it going to feel like to take $200,000 or $300,000, I should say, and put on a big youth conference or gospel concert and have all of the top gospel singers and empowerment speakers come and then invite every kid from every high school there, and it's absolutely free, no charge to them, of course. How awesome. See, you got to visualize that. I can see the kids now in the hallways buzzing, talking to all the powerful women like Tina and Elaine and Kila and Coach K and Jay, you know, awesome. You got to visualize it. Put emotion to it. Put feeling to it. Cry if you have to. And then start working. Networking. Sounds familiar, right? Networking. Start making those connections. Create it. Look at it. Okay? That's the dream life I want. What's it going to take to get there? What's it going to take to get there? Getting rid of those negative voices. Okay? You can do it. I know you can. You just got to take one little step. And you got to believe in yourself. Believe that you deserve it, that it was meant for you, that this is something God wants for you, that it's something He has ordained for you. Just take one step and keep on stepping. I know I'm so glad for Eddie Kendricks and back in the day, and he had that song, Keep On Trucking. Keep On Trucking, Baby. Oh, I'm so glad because, again, that song went down in my spirit because I was in the 10th grade when the song came out. And I'll never forget the song because I was in modern dance class at the time, and we did a dance to that song as our final project for the class. I'll never forget it. Keep on trucking. And that's, you know, so take that step and keep on stepping. Don't stop. Keep stepping. A little bit, a little. And before you know it, there you'll be. You know how the book says, everywhere you go, there you are. Before you know it, there you are. Because it's where you are. It's where you've been. It's what you do every day. Every day. See, you saw the big picture in your mind's eye. You know, God will show you the end, then He'll back you up to the beginning. He shows you the end, you standing there signing autographs or whatever it is that you're doing, or you're standing there a heart surgeon, whatever it is, whatever your big dream is, bank president, whatever, property owner, you own tons and tons of real estate, whatever it is, He's already showed you the end. But this is what I love about Him, because that would be overwhelming. If I had to get to the end from the point where, you know, I am right now or where I was, oh, my God, I would have gave up a long time ago. Who could handle that? Nobody. So what God did, He's so loving. I just love Him. He backs you up to the beginning where you can take that little baby step. But because your heart is going to now be encouraged because He's shown you the end. He's shown you the full vision of what it's going to look like. And it's the same thing we do with heaven. He's already shown us that we're going there. But you don't just wake up and you're there one day. You got to go through all the baby steps to get there. But because you have that assurance inside, you feel confident and happy, and, you know, you don't mind. You know, hey, that's like the song Dr. Juanita Bynum's, I don't mind waiting. So you don't mind waiting. You don't mind going through this. Today, let it be the day that you write that dream down. You got to create it. It's not going to drop out of the sky. It's not magic. Not going to miraculously show up on your doorstep or in your mouth or in your inbox on Facebook. You got to create it. Sit down. Write it down. Don't be afraid. Hide it if you're afraid somebody's going to see it and laugh at you. Just write it. I don't care how crazy, outlandish it sounds. And don't forget, I'm outlandish. And you can tell me if you need to tell somebody, if you need to somebody to bounce a crazy idea off of. Now, okay, I'm going to come real at you because if you tell me that you want to, you know, swim making much, and you don't even want to get in a swimming pool, I might say, hold up. No, I'm just kidding. But you never know. Okay, it's the end of the show. Create. It's going to be great. Now, don't forget, the retreat has been changed and it's been moved. It's not going to be, it's been moved to Newark at the Wyndham. It's not going to be in Maryland. So please call me. You need to be there. It's a full day, possibly a Friday. That's next weekend, not this weekend. And I'll talk more about it tomorrow. And I'll talk about my interview on Saturday on IBNRadio.com for those of you who can tune in to us for that radio show. And just great, great things are happening. Well, be blessed. Keep it real. Go out. Hey.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach LaLisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge, share the love, share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach Felicia Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach Lil Lisa J. Williams.